Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the overshadowing, overarching thought that we have based on what we've seen in yesterday's runoff election in Georgia. And what we've seen in the November the 3rd election for the president, and what is culminating today in the House and the Senate's joint meeting for Vice President Pence to open and count and to finalize the certification of the Electoral College votes. That's to begin at 1 o'clock today. With all that being said, I'm saying God's not dead. He's not asleep. He's not impotent. He's not on vacation. He does not have cognitive problems to decide what to do with what we're seeing. But I am saying to you today that though God is sovereign, though God is ultimately in control, man is a volitional being. God created us that way. And if man wants to make the decision as a nation, we're going to turn our backs on God and continue to go down the pathway of socialism, Marxism, and communism, which is antithetical to anything that's called a central biblicist worldview, antithetical to anything that's called morals and ethics and values, antithetical to anything that's called a constitutional republic. It's antithetical to anything that's called a capitalistic society. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's what America wants, God, I believe, is saying, you can have it. And if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to watch the hand of God and its judgment upon our nation. I believe that's been progressively coming for quite some time. I believe that there was an intervention in 2016, the November election, that placed President Donald J. Trump in office to give America a four-year reprieve, opportunity to turn back to God, an opportunity. And ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump did more for religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. And I could go on. In fact, I developed a list of about 125, 130 things that President Trump has done in the positive sense for America since he went in office. But those are the three top things: freedom of speech, religious liberties, and the right to keep and bear arms. He's done more in the provision, the protection of those things, and our Bill of Rights in general, than any other president in the history of the United States of America. And yet we see the votes continuing to be used on the Dominion software system and expecting a different outcome. Let me just read you a blurb or two from an article that's entitled, "Nothing Will Stop the Socialists Short of a Massive Conservative Uprising." It's dated yesterday's date. Socialism and capitalism, in contrast. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez says, "To me, the socialism means is the guarantee of a basic level of dignity. It's asserting the value of saying that America we want and the America that we are proud of is one in which all children can access a dignified education. It's one in which no person is too poor to have medicines that they need to live on." Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Here's a statement by Winston Churchill. "Socialism is a philosophy of failure, the greed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any clearer. And yet it seems that's where we're plunging into. If the vote in Georgia is confirmed, that places two socialist, Marxist, communist senators in office that will offset anything that we'll call a balanced judiciary, legislative, and executive branch in our government for the United States of America. Jose is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
It is sad to see how fast America is turning into socialism. I do remember Venezuela when it was a prosperous nation. Venezuela used to be the United States or Latin America. Everybody from Latin America used to go to Venezuela within 2 years. They were better off, you know what I mean? And it's sad to see, but it's the same socialist playbook. Equality, it's not fair for you to have that big house. We're going to give you free education. We're going to give you free health care. And it all started with those Marxist teachers pushing that agenda at the university level and educational system. But it's sad to see that it's in cahoots with the media, the same thing that the dictators do in Latin America. They control the media, and they control whatever people think, whatever people believe. And remember, all you got to do is repeat a lie 5, 6, 7 times, and people start believing it. And I think that's what happened, because you see the enormous number of so-called Christians supporting this fake, false, wicked reverend. This guy says that there's biblical basis, foundation, to support same-sex marriage and abortion. How insane is that? But it's sad to say that you got the media not mention none of this, keeping the people in the dark. So little by little, it's leaning towards socialism. And people, those people that go to universities, they have no clue. They are like clueless. They think that the money grows in trees or it just comes down from heaven. You know what I mean? It's just so upsetting to see. And unfortunately, the media is controlled 99% by liberals. So we hear the same ideology. That's why I don't watch the news anymore. I listen to you in very few channels sometimes when I had the time. But it's so sickening to hear the lie and the propaganda that these people is pushing every single day. I don't know if you remember, but last year when Trump was talking about Maduro in Venezuela, that he was going to put more sanctions in it, there was a group of Democrats in California alongside with people from Venezuela supporting Maduro here in the United States, in California. I was beyond speechless. I told my family, I said, are you guys watching this? They could not believe it. They were like, what? So we are at that level. And it's something that we have to pray and fast for this nation, brother, because the path
Absolutely.
That we are going.
And I would say what you're saying is exactly right. And you go back to the Hitler regime, and you find that Hitler controlled the people by controlling the news media. We have today the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic Chinese party apparatus that's controlling the media. Just recently, for example, a talk show host on a channel was chided because he said something about Warnock being an apostate preacher. And CNN News said that network was just taking things Warnock had said out of context. And so it was Tucker Carlson. He said, well, let's just play the whole clip, played the whole clip. And it's where Warnock was cursing America and asking God to damn America, where Warnock was saying that the problem in America is that we've got to stop looking to white people. He is an anti-white. He's a racist. Warnock is an apostate, to say the very, very least. I don't even believe there's ever any possibility he has any knowledge of what salvation really means. He is a socialist, Marxist, communist. And as a result of that, as a result of the media, just as you've said, keeping the real truth away from the people, there are multitudes of people today that are operating in total darkness, not knowing the truth and not seeking the truth because they think somehow, some way, Communist Network News is going to give the truth, and it's the farthest thing from the truth because it's controlled by the socialist, Marxist, communist media. So you're exactly right.
The common sense, brother, I think the common sense has been erased so much, and they have been so brainwashed, and they have so much hatred And they are so blindfolded that they don't see the hypocrisy. I stopped with one of them, and I told him, you know, hey, you guys went after the Trump's kids, Junior, and they got investigated with no basis. But here, with Joe Biden's son, with all the evidence, you got the laptop, the media. Oh, well, I didn't hear that on the media. You see how the media plays out? The media is right. The one that controls people's common sense. They don't research, they don't inform themselves. Whatever they get on a tweet, whatever they see on Facebook, they take that to face value. They don't go beyond that. But the hypocrisy is so amazing. The Russian hoax, there was nothing there. But yet, with Biden and the Ukraine, the media doesn't report it. So these clowns, these zombies, they have no clue. You mentioned, they go like, what? I don't know.
You're exactly right. And one of the things that the media is ignorant enough of and does not realize, that in a full-fledged socialist, Marxist, communist dictatorship, ruling authoritarian government, their heads will be on the block. They will not have any freedom themselves. They think that they are smart in doing what they're doing. They think that they're lending a hand to Joe Biden and others, not realizing that they are putting the nail in their own coffin, as I would call it, for future tense, as America goes down the pathway of total socialism, communism,
Brother,
Marxism.
This is my last comment. I've been in Cuba 3 times, and to my surprise, the only American news network allowed in Cuba is CNN. Put the 2 and 2 together and wonder why.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
They bash America. America is evil. America is whatever. America is. So they are speaking the same language that those dictators in Cuba. The
absolutely.
Only channel allowed in Cuba is CNN. Think about that one.
Yes. And so, brother, the key to what I want our listeners to understand today, though it is dark, it's gloriously dark, because each and every tick of the clock, it is closer to the rapture of the church.
Yes, brother.
Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Love
Thank you.
You.
Thank you. Love you. God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the demise of a nation. We're talking about America on the slippery slope for full-fledged socialism, Marxism, communism, and it is taking place before our eyes. But God is sovereign, and God is on the throne. But God is saying, if this is what America wants, I'm going to use it to judge America based on America's own choice and decision. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
That's interesting what he just said, the notion that the only network allowed in Cuba is CNN, the Communist News Network.
Yes, that tells you something, doesn't it?
Says a lot. It really says a lot. Thankful for his comments. Do you think that Warnock and Ossoff won in this Georgia race?
No, not at all. It's the Dominion equipment that allowed them to win.
I think we see the same tactics used a second time, probably third, fourth, fifth time. This time, you know, in the November election, they just went over the top. They used every methodology they could. I think you have a machine issue. I think you have illegal voter issues. Illegal voters outside the state. This time, I understand there were caravans of buses that flowed in from the north, particularly into Atlanta, in order to vote. Now, you know that we left Augusta, Georgia in 1981. Should we have voted in that election like the Democrats
did? I think we should have.
I think we should have. I mean, we have roots there. My goodness, probably more roots than a lot of those folks that illegally voted there. And I guarantee you, if we run a check, you're going to find that Democrats from all over the United States voted in multiple elections. And if right prevailed, those individuals would see jail time. Supervisors of elections that allowed things like that to take place would see jail time. Raffensperger, whatever his name is, Secretary of State, my goodness, I think he's just been as useless as he can be as Secretary of State in this election. But also the tactics of shutting down before all of the votes were cast. The idea was, hey, if we come up short, well, those folks in Savannah, they'll make sure we – you know, get these folks over the top, because it's leftist dominated districts that they tend to shut down. And it's interesting, in the state of Florida, where do we have problem in the 2000 election, Bush v. Gore? Remember that? It was in Democratic dominated districts. It wasn't Central Florida. It wasn't, you know, Western Florida. It wasn't, you know, all the Panhandle. It was the deep blue territory of Miami, Dade, Broward counties. Come on. It seems like it's only in the Democrat districts that they have problems, you know, hanging chad issues and can't count all the ballots issues and water main breaks and that shut down votes and, oh, inadvertently, we're stopping the vote counting at 10:30. We're all done. Y'all go home. Oh, let's get out the boxes of ballots and continue counting.
Greg, even in this runoff election now, one of the articles that I read and do not have it before me for this broadcast, but there were several hundred thousand absentee ballots that were out of state PO boxes that the ballots were sent to be signed, filled out, signed, and returned. That on the face of it is antithetical to anything that's called an honorable legal vote, but yet they were counted.
This Secretary of State there, his negotiated deal with Stacey Abrams prevented them from doing the signature verification to the original registration. That was part of a negotiated deal that he signed off on. Now, it wasn't authorized by the legislature. That's why, that's one of the reasons why lawsuits were filed to undo that. It's interesting to note all of the little components that led us to where we are today. But and we retrospect, look back on that. But if things go the way the left is taking us, the direction the left is taking us, from an eschatological standpoint, where are we?
We are just on the very – keep in mind, as I've used many, many times down through the years, the clock, the eschatological prophetic clock of God has been stalled, as I would call it, at 1 minute before midnight. All God needs to do is turn his clock on, his eschatological prophetic clock. We're 1 minute before midnight. We're just 1 minute, if you'd use that illustration, before the total wrath of God is being poured out. That means the rapture of the church is imminent. It can happen at any moment. Then there's the 7 years of tribulation, and that tribulation is where God pours out his wrath. The word wrath is the Greek word thumos, white-hot anger of God being poured out upon a world that said no to his Son, Jesus Christ. But I believe God is going to use this vote by Americans to allow God's judgment to fall on our nation. In fact, Greg, I'm looking at a brief article from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham responds to the alleged efforts to steal the election by the enemies of God, is what he calls it. Franklin Graham made a call for prayer on Wednesday, stating many fears that those who oppose President Donald Trump are trying to steal the election from him. Quote, this is Graham speaking. I ask that you continue to pray for our nation and this election. Many fear that some are trying to steal this election. Join me in praying that God's will be done in America. End quote. Further, he says, pray that the enemies of God will be quieted and that all their plans will be put to nothing. He goes on to refer then to the book of Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, where he quotes here, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work, end quote. And that's exactly what our prayer should be, that God will stop it. But listen, Greg, I've said this as we've talked about this morning on this broadcast. God's not dead. He's not asleep. He's not on a journey. He's not sick. But he created man, a volitional being. Greg, let me switch gears for just a moment and ask you a question. What do you perceive? What do you look forward to? What do you believe will take place as a result of this joint meeting of the House and the Senate beginning at 1 o'clock today?
I am concerned as to who may have Michael Pence here, because he's telegraphed two different ways. If he goes, I think the optimal route, constitutionally, legally, will be to allow Ted Cruz's will to be performed, and it's an emergency national audit. I think that the president, the vice president, Michael Pence, will see himself in a potentially unconstitutional position to single-handedly say we're not going to count these, but he certainly can authorize the hearings, and those hearings can take 2 hours, and it can be like per count, per state. So we could have 12 hours of debate. I believe a decision in the end to perform an audit that would be a technological review of actual scanned ballots, signature review where that can be done, a legal review to the different components. However, at the end of the day, the Democrats still hold more seats, House, Senate combined. The reality is, unless some Democrats decide, you know what, we believe in free and fair elections, unless some Democrats stand up and say, you know what, we're not that evil, awful, anything to win crowd, we believe fairness and truth should prevail. I don't know that any Democrats like that still exist. And by the way, I'm speaking to some believers out there today that call themselves Democrats. Today, you're going to see whether or not any Democrats still exist in the House or in the Senate that believe that truth and righteousness should prevail. We're going to see it today in full color. But moving forward, if the Democrats get their way, I believe one of the first items on the agenda will be to legalize, give some status to around 20 million plus illegal aliens. I believe between now and the 2022 election, they will do their dead level best to make legal voters out of tens of millions of illegal aliens, knowing that illegal aliens identify as Democrats 8-1. This is per Pew Research, 8-1. They identify as Democrats. Why do you think the Democratic Party has been for open borders? Now, we've got a lot of rhinos that are for open borders for cheap labor. They have sold out their countries. They have sold their soul for the cheap labor. But for the Democrats, the notion that national security can be placed at risk and Pandora's box open so that they may achieve power, I've said many times, that these folks will be happy to burn America to the ground so long as they're in charge of the ash heap.
You're exactly right. And one of the things that I believe most have been in the dark about as Americans is socialism and communism. Most people are, I would say, most Americans are generous, and they want to help others. And they think, well, socialism simply means everybody having an equal shot at the deal. And that's, I'm using that term. Here's a writer that says, in short, a socialist would abolish the U.S. Constitution, the foundation of our liberty. In contrast, the capitalist would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution to assure that the individual freedom and American constitutional republic will be preserved in perpetuity. A socialist wants a top-down power run by arrogant elitists who think they know what is best for all people and will exercise dictatorial control to enforce their top-down power. In response to the coronavirus wide-scale business shutdowns, national forced mask wearing, and mandatory vaccines coming easy to them, they are obsessed with power. Their final goal is to have absolute total authoritarian power. Their guides are the rules for radicals and the Karl Marx manifesto, end quote. And the average citizen, the average person, and multiplied Christians do not recognize that major, major, major danger. And Greg, one of the things that is so concerning for me and brings grave consternation is to realize that one of the major things, one of the first things that will take place in America if a Biden administration goes into office, along with the control of the House and the Senate, is the persecution and prosecution of Christians. I'm looking at an article, Greg. It says dozens of Chinese authorities interrupt a home Bible study, detain the pastor and five members. The pastor of a house church in China and five members were arrested after authorities raided the Bible study on December the 30th. While the women were released the next day, the pastor was sentenced to 15 days of administrative detention. What were their crime? They were having a Bible study in their home. And according to the officials, the rationale for going in and raiding the home, they took all Bibles, all choir robes, all hymnals, and burned them, and put the pastor in custody for 15 days. And the authority they had supposedly was that they were told that they were not wearing masks in their homes for that Bible study. That's, we're headed for that, Greg, in America, if Joe Biden becomes the Trojan horse president of the United States of America. Speak to where we're going if this happens, where all three branches of government's controlled by the socialist Marxist Democrats. What can America expect morally, ethically, biblically, and spiritually? We've got about a minute and a half left.
We need to realize as believers that Jesus himself said that if they hate you, know that they hated me first. This goes back to the very, very core of our Christianity. The world will be at enmity with us because the world is at enmity with God. The believer need not fear, though. This is that time that we've said over and over, lift up your head for your redemption draweth nigh. But we should conduct ourselves knowing that 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For every believer out there that's hearing this broadcast today, recognize God gives those things. That sound mind, use sound judgment. Be prepared. Be prayed up. Share the gospel. This may be your very last chance.
Just because it looks dark, it is not totally dark, Greg. As I have said so many times, going back quoting Adrian Rogers of many years ago, Dr. Rogers says it's dark, but it's gloriously dark because it shows that we're closer to the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Greg, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.